I think we ought to have them come back up here and do that again. That was good. It was good. What a blessing. There's so many stories and legends and traditions that go about with the Christmas story. And I think sometimes we forget that the events of Scripture involved real people. They were human beings that had faults and failures and flesh like we have. Today what I want to do is to look at eyewitnesses of the Incarnation, real people who were there. Real people who were there when the Lord Jesus was born. We often think of the idyllic setting that we read in Luke chapter 2 with the manger scene and we have them in our homes, the little statues of Joseph and Mary and my daughter argues with other people about where the cows should go and the calèche that goes over the top and all the things that we set up sometimes I think that we have a problem of especially in the minds of our children, this kind of becoming just one other story among the snowmen and the people in red suits and beards and all of the other things that we think of. But this was real. These were real human beings with real concerns and real emotions and history behind them. I hate to talk about the Christmas story as a story. It's not. It's history. It's real. It's true. And I want us today to just kind of go through the different scenes of the Christmas story, the history of what happened. Start in looking in your Bibles in Luke chapter 1. We know that even before, there was an awareness that the Savior was coming, that something special was going on. All through the Scriptures, there has been prophecy after prophecy of the coming of a Messiah who would come and deliver His people. Some people thought that Messiah was going to be a military leader. Somebody who was going to come in and deliver Israel, the people of Judah from the Romans. They viewed Him as a conqueror and a vanquisher of all of Israel's enemies. Others saw Him as a political leader. Not like we would consider a presidential candidate, but a political leader in the way that Moses walked in and confronted Pharaoh in Egypt and then led his people out of the bondage of Egypt. Others thought of Jesus, the Messiah who would come, as being a prophet, one who would recall Israel back to power and the prophecy of Jehovah God and return them to a proper worship of God. But the way He came was not the way they expected. They expected Him to burst on the scene as a full-grown, strong man. But God intended it a different way. Before Mary even knew about this, there was something special going on. And you can look in Luke chapter 1 and read the story. I'm not going to go through it, of how God worked in the life of an old priest, Zechariah, and his barren wife, Elizabeth. And how He had prophesied that He would have a son and that this son would prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Mary didn't know anything about that. And yet it happened before she heard that she was going to have a child. Who was Mary? I think of Mary, and we need to put in context where she was, her age, and what kind of a person this was. This was a young lady, 13, 15, 16, somewhere, and maybe 17 years old, not very old. She'd grown up in a traditional Jewish family, gone through the sacrifices, gone through the worship of the temple and all the things that had gone on. She'd been betrothed, probably as a young girl. An arrangement had been made, set up between her family and Joseph's family. This was the way they did it back in those days. Father picked her husband and set everything up and laid it all out. And then as she got older, then the groom was to then begin preparing for the time when he would be able to have a home for a new bride. So Mary was just living at home, a typical teenage girl, waiting for the time. Yes, she had been betrothed now. She'd gone from the step of the legal arrangement that her father had made, and now she's into the betrothal period, which was like a marriage, but not quite marriage. They hadn't had their honeymoon and all that went with that yet, but they were that much committed. That's the way this relationship had developed. In Jewish days, this type of a relationship was one that could only be broken. If you read in Deuteronomy chapter 22, I believe it is, that the only way out of this espousal period, the only way out of this agreement, was for someone to write a bill of divorcement. This is how serious this is. We hear of people breaking up engagements. This is quite different. This is a much firmer bond that had been made. But she's a normal teenage Jewish girl living at home with her parents. I'm sure she giggled and laughed and enjoyed life. I'm sure she helped her mother around the table. I'm sure that she had chores to do at the house. She'd been living morally, she'd been living purely, she'd been living righteously. She was a good girl. But she didn't expect what was about to happen to her. She hadn't a clue. She's there and she's espoused and she's looking forward. Perhaps she's maybe planning a wedding, I don't know. But we do know that she was a virgin. We knew that she'd been pure. She lived a godly and moral life. And then we go into a scene in Luke chapter 1. And that, by the way, that scene is one that we can only imagine, because we don't have the scripture that tells us exactly what Mary was like before. We can only look back on that day, considering what we know later on as we look at scripture about her. But then we go to a scene in heaven. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And here we have scripture to tell us some things that happened and how this came about. In Luke 1 and verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So in heaven, Gabriel and God have a conversation. Gabriel is given a commission. He says, go and give Mary the news. Now, this was no surprise to God. It may have been a new news to Gabriel. He didn't understand all the heart and the mind of God. But from the before the foundation of the world, this had all been planned. Jesus Christ, the one who was about to be born, was involved in that plan. God created us, and He knew that man would fall into sin. He knew that man would need a Savior, and He knew that the only way for man to be saved was to send a Redeemer, one who would be born of a virgin, prophesied to be born of a virgin, one who would live a holy life, one who would die for sin. Though we didn't understand that, though Mary didn't understand that, though the people who lived in Jesus' day didn't completely grasp it until later on. This was part of God's plan in heaven before the foundation of the earth. And this angel fulfilled his duty. We see in verse 28, we go from the scene in heaven to a scene back down in the home of this young virgin girl, Mary. It says in verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, people didn't normally see angels. We think of angels as being something like a cherub floating around with little wings. Now, this was a powerful creature that walked into her room. We know that these are strong creatures. We do know from the Old Testament that one angel defeated, I think it was 189,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night by himself. These are amazing creatures of God. Isaiah talks about them standing before the throne of God forever proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." These are angels. These are powerful creatures. And they walk into this young girl's room. And you can imagine how startled she must have been. It says there, and she saw him in verse 29, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What is this? Innocence, total innocence, not a clue what's going on. And the angel said unto her in verse 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. What a wonderful thing to see how this angel, this powerful creature can comfort even the most skittish teenage girl. He walks in with and tells her the prophecy of what's about to happen in her life. Again, she didn't know. She didn't have a clue. She was just a tool in the hands of God. Some people want to exalt her as being the queen of heaven and the one who is the one who tells Jesus what to do. We can see in this passage of Scripture how frail she was, how gentle she was, how willing she was to just do what God wanted her to do. Verse 31, the angel says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I can almost see this young lady just standing there with her mouth gaped wide open, staring, going, huh? How? And that's what she says. Verse 34. How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. She's admitting her virginity. She's admitting her innocence. She's admitting her shock over this whole thing. This wasn't something she worked for. This was something she aimed for. She understood this was the grace of God that had come down upon her life. She didn't know how it was going to work. And the angel answered in verse 35 and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can you imagine the weight of that landing on your shoulders? I am going to be the one who carries the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, here's some proof. Here's to help Mary to get a better grasp of what is about to happen. To give her some confidence that this is a real thing, that this is not just something she's dreamed or come up with in her own mind. This is something to give her confidence to fulfill God's will in her life. Verse 36, behold thy cousin Elizabeth. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Again, a heavy weight been placed upon this young lady. A heavy burden, a big responsibility. The Savior of the world is about to come under her care. A special, unique relationship with the God of heaven. Carry his son. Would you have been willing to carry that load? You and I have been given a heavy load as well. Jesus said, you are the ones. You are my witnesses. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You have been just as commissioned to fulfill the work of God, as Mary was commissioned to fulfill the work of God. She carried her load. Will you? Will I? Verse 38 tells me that Mary had the proper response to the call of God on her life. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it joyfully. I'll do it gladly. I'll do it willingly. I'll do my best. I want to be a part of the will of God for my life. And then the angel departs from her. This is the original encounter. This is where it all begins in her mind. And miraculously, it all begins in her body. I'm always amazed when I think of this. I just can't comprehend it. I can't put my hands around this idea. And I don't know exactly how to explain it. I don't know all the details of how this happens. But somehow, at that time, around that time, whether it was that specific moment or days later, somehow, miraculously, the ultimate God of heaven, the God who's omnipresent, the God who was there at the creation of the world, before the foundation of the world, part of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Son is squeezed into a microscopic cell and somehow placed into the womb of that virgin mother. God squeezed. Philippians talks about Him humbling Himself. Being in the form of God, thought Him not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. This is what happened. This is the incarnation. Mary was there. She didn't understand it. She didn't comprehend it. She was trying to get her hands around it, trying to get her mind to comprehend it. But because she knows that God is working, she does everything that she can. I don't know where her mother was. I don't know who her mother was. I don't know where her father was. I don't know who her father was. There's no record in the Scripture of who they were. But she left her home and took the journey and said, "I'm going to pursue learning more about this will of God." And off she went. Verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And then God gives her confirmation. Verse 41. And now we're in the scene 4, Mary's journey to Nazareth, and scene 5, the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, she heard Mary say, "Hello, cousin. How are you? I'm here to visit. I've got news for you." And before she can get the news out, the little baby in her mother's womb, a live person, life begins at conception. And John the Baptist already is doing his job. He's here, jumps in his mother's womb. Here's the Messiah. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Mary hadn't said anything. Mary hadn't told her. She hadn't had a chance to tell her about the angel. All she said is, "Hello, I'm here. I have news." Maybe that's what she said. I don't know the exact words, but it was a brief salutation. And already, the news is coming. The Lord is coming. Verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Wow. Confirmation. The angel's given the news. Elizabeth is saying amen. And Mary's beginning to start to comprehend it. Not long ago, just a simple girl doing her chores at home, And now she is carrying the Messiah. What a change. What an opportunity. What a burden in other ways. Can you imagine what else may have been going through her mind? This was a day when you didn't see very many unwed mothers. This was a day when they treated it a lot differently than we do. Today, you have schools that have places for unwed mothers to bring their children. Right at the same time as their parents are continuing their education. In those days, you can read in the Old Testament where if a young lady showed up with child and she was not married, they would do research and they would find out what was going on. And if she was consenting unto this, well, she, especially a betrothed woman, she could be taken out to the streets and stoned for her adultery. And even if she wasn't, and somehow grace was given to her, there was a stigma that followed. She was considered the mother of an illegitimate child. She would carry the burden of an illicit woman as her testimony. And yet, because she has confidence that God is doing something in her life, and though she can't explain it all, though she doesn't understand it all, she is understanding that God has given her a mission and she's willing to fulfill it. You and I don't understand all that we will have to go through as we try to live for the Lord. We will be maligned and we will be mistreated. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have persecution. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. In this world you'll have tribulation. Nevertheless, we're to persevere to the end. We're to continue in the mission that we've been given. We're to be faithful to the calling that God's given us in our lives. Mary got that. She understood that. And she was thrilled to be used of God. Look at chapter 1 and verse 46 of Luke. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to his father, so to Abraham and to his seed forever." And she accepted the will of God in her life. She was willing. She was excited. She was joyous in her service for the Lord. And Mary abode with her, verse 56, for about 3 months with Elizabeth, and then returned to her own house. Now, I want you to see another person. I don't know how this happened. We don't have the record. But go back in Matthew chapter 1. Just see another person. We're going to run out of time before I get to everybody I want to talk about this morning, so we'll stop after we talk about this fellow. I don't want to be accused of burning the chicken. But in Matthew chapter 1, we have the record of the other party involved in this betrothal. And I don't know how it happened. I wasn't there. We don't have the record. But somehow the news gets back to Joseph. Mary's going to have a baby. What? What was she doing over there with Elizabeth? Was she really with Elizabeth? Who else was she with? What's going on here? I know I didn't do anything. I had nothing to do with this. She's betrothed to me. What is the deal here? Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. He found it out. Don't know how he found it out. I can imagine that he had some sleepless nights, just as you and I would if this was our situation. How did this happen? Verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, and he was thinking, he's in a dilemma now. What do I do? Any way I look at this, I'm in trouble. They're going to accuse me. What have you been doing, Joseph? Have you been fooling around? What did you do? No matter what he does, he's in the hot seat. Where's Mary been if it wasn't you? How do you explain this? What are you going to do about it? Are you man enough to do what the Bible says to do about this thing? Take her out and stone her? Deuteronomy chapter 22, 13 to 21. You can read it if you want later on, where it tells you what happens. Or, are you going to write her this bill of divorcement? This is what he had kind of decided to do. Verse 19 said he was minded to put her away privily. He was going to break it off. Let her suffer the consequences. I don't know, maybe he thought he was just going to get out of town and just go start his life all over again someplace else and take his carpenter's tools and do something someplace else. Verse 20 tells us that while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a name, Jesus. Special. Verse 22, now all this was done, the angel's telling him, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, Isaiah 7:14, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So Joseph is learning a little bit about now how this happens, the cause of the pregnancy, the character of the child. He's a Savior. He's going to be God with us. Again, you're a single man about to get married, and this weight is placed upon you. You're going to have a responsibility to train and to rear and to protect and to guide the Son of God. He's not your son, but you've got to treat him like one. And what did Joseph do? He knows the will of God. He hears the call of God. He knows the burden that he's been called to bear. The stigma. The trials. He doesn't understand it all, but he knows it's not going to be easy. Some people say he's had a lot of splaining to do. But what does he do? Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did. What a great word. He acted as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him to his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name not Sam, not Joseph Jr., not Buddy. He called him Jesus. He knew this is God's will. This is God's calling. I have the privilege of being involved in the incarnation of God in the flesh coming to earth to dwell among us, to save us from our sins. What a privilege. What a joy. What an obligation. I'm so glad He took it seriously. Are you willing to do the will of God no matter what it takes, no matter what people say about you, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much it's going to cost? Are you willing to be counted among those who follow the Lord? Mary and Joseph were. And God has blessed them because of that through history. I wonder what legacy you will leave behind. All of us have been called to do something for Him. We've all been called to do something unique. Not the job of Mary and Joseph. That's not our calling. What has He called you to do? Are you willing to do it? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the record we have of these true events. Help them to be real in our lives, and help us to understand them in our hearts and apply them to ourselves personally. Lord, if we have something that we need to do, I pray that You'll help us to be faithful as Mary and Joseph were. Work in our hearts. Bring conviction. If there's someone here who still does not yet know Jesus as the Savior, Lord, would You draw them to Yourself even this morning? For those of us who are saved, help us to recognize our mission. Help us to take it seriously and to fulfill Your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.